Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hi, everyone. This is JT Rogan from Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Each week, I co-host the show with coaches Jack and Jim Harbaugh. Join us this week as we welcome University of Michigan defensive coordinator, our very own Don Brown, to the show to talk about what we saw in the Super Bowl.
I didn't really look back on this. There were no mistakes. I didn't see any coaching mistakes, didn't see any player mistakes. Even the game-turning plays were great plays, you know, made by an offensive player or made by a defensive player. That's why I say it was a magnificent football game.
We'll talk offense, defense, special teams, covering Rob Gronkowski, coin tosses, and so much more. You can listen to this episode, past episodes, and all new episodes each Tuesday for free, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the new Podcast One app. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes and write a review to tell us what you think of the show. Most importantly, keep attacking each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, legendary session drummer Kenny Aronoff, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and the Valentine's Day themed round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, 50 Shades of Angry, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. And thanks to A&E Unreal. New season premieres Monday, February 26th at 10 o'clock on Lifetime. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Ball Brian.
Whoops.
What happened? He applauds for himself now.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Happy Valentine's Day, you guys.
Thank you. Gene, I know for Valentine's Day, you're very unhappy about 50 Shades of Freed.
Oh, my God.
So,
as if I didn't have enough to cry about this year.
You saw it in the theaters?
I sure did.
Were you by yourself, at least?
I was not.
Oh. I'm constantly confused by life. Constantly. Like, again, it runs in a few different forms. There's DJ Khaled, where I go, well, who's going to listen to this fat fuck who points at the ceiling? Oh, he's huge. He's
the
huge.
Best.
He's huge. And then I see...
Put your hands up.
Beef Motto.
Right.
Next
as opposed to
Clamato. And I was like, I was out at Clamato, but now you have another thing that sounds like even worse venereal disease.
We're spinning off?
And it's next to it. You must not... How could you sell a drop of this a year, and yet there it is, fully stocked in every refrigerated section of whatever...
I felt the same way when every Kardashian started to get her own show. Like, Kylie takes over the world. Are we spinning off from something terrible and something more terrible?
How could this ever work? And then I find out that 50 Shades of Grey, it's now the third iteration. And I think I saw something yesterday. It's like the number one movie in the country. Oh, you know,
it's a mystery.
It's a hit.
And all I hear is that it's horrible.
Yep.
And I don't get it. But I feel the same way when I hear that... they're making a 95-minute full-length version of Land of the Lost. It's like, that is the worst piece of shit TV show from my childhood. That show, between that and Sigmund and the Sea Monster, almost single-handedly, and my parents, ruined my childhood. Why would anyone make a movie about this?
Like, let alone be happy about it.
They're greenlit. Will Ferrell's attached.
Like, yep.
And I say all the time, look, the entire globe, and I'm not using any hyperbole here, the entire globe could be cordoned off into two groups of people. They're the people who have never heard of Land of the Lost and Sigmund and the Sea Monster, right, and all that. They've never heard of it, and they should count themselves amongst the blessed. Right. Like, that's what I would like to do. I'd like to go to deepest, darkest Africa, where people were sweltering and carrying water that was riddled with malaria
just
and gourds on top of their
life.
Head. And I would go, have you heard of Land of the Lost, the TV show? And they'd go, no, all we do is have stillborn children, and there's nothing to eat. And I'd go, consider yourself lucky. Consider yourself blessed. Consider yourself blessed. They go, why? Why would I be? Because you've, whatever you got, you can get past this. Yeah.
You can boil your
Bono
water.
Bono can come by and drop off some beans. I can never get this out of my head, ever.
Yep.
So.
I had never heard of those shows before I worked for you.
They are the worst.
Thanks,
okay,
Adam.
So,
but I'm saying they were so bad. They were, what, in the mid-70s-ish?
People tried to bury it.
By the time I was a child in the early 80s, they had been flushed from society. Like, they didn't stand the test of time 7 years.
Until Will Ferrell and Danny McBride got a hold
of it. So society, the entire globe, is either folks that don't know of these shows, again, the blessed, and also the blessed who died before the shows came out.
The lucky ones died first. That's the best tagline ever.
That was always, every once in a blue moon, I think back on young Adam comedian when Adam was 15 or 14. And like, but there was no thoughts of being a comedian. It was just things I would say, two things.
Right.
And that poster with the Night of the Living Dead or the
Hills
Evil Dead
or
the Hills
Dead.
Type in the first to die or lucky. You got to find out what year it was. But
the first to die were the lucky ones.
Right. The first to die were the lucky or lucky ones.
That's a great
The lucky ones died first.
I think the first to die were the lucky
ones. We're going to find out.
Yes.
Too
anyway.
Sweet.
When I was 14, I remember looking at that movie poster and like saying to the guy next to me, imagine this guy's laying on the ground, he's been disemboweled, and he has like a machete going through his heart, and his friends are like, oh, Stu, first to lose their virginity, first one to get his driver's license, and now this.
See?
That guy's got a rabbit's foot up his ass.
You put a comedic spin on it.
That was me when I was like 15 trying to make some funny. Of course, whoever I was standing next to just went, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Right. Or nothing at all. So I just moved on with whatever thoughts I was having. The first to die were the lucky is The Hills Have Eyes.
The lucky ones die first.
Oh, Brian is right.
Yeah.
Ryan is so right.
Oh, don't you hate that?
Is there two?
There may have been a previous iteration of this, but on the Film Vault, we did top five taglines once, and this is my number one. That's a great tagline. Lucky ones died first.
What? I don't know why it's seared into my head the other way, but now maybe there is another one. Now, what year was The Hills Have Eyes? 75 or something? It ran in perpetuity. I think that's the remake, though.
I think that's like the 2005 remake we're looking at.
They may have readopted, translated.
Yeah, but they translated.
The lucky ones died first.
That was 75 or 6 or something. I remember. Anyway, where was I?
Hills Have Eyes.
I love that. What does it say? Just keep thinking to yourself, it's only a film. It's only a film. Mm-hmm.
So good.
What year was that there, Max Pata? He said 2917.
1977.
77. Okay. May have been a typo there.
Maybe.
All right. 77. So whatever age I was 12 or something. That's what I was making fun of. Now, so half the society has no idea what Land of the Lost is.
The lucky ones.
And they're the lucky ones. And then the other half have seen it and hate it.
Yeah.
So why push forward with a film that it's only these two categories?
There is no clamoring for.
There's only heard of it, hate it, never heard of it.
Yeah.
But yet we move forward.
As it applies to 50 Shades, I have a theory.
Okay.
A widely accepted theory that I'm sure many people have come up with. It is the only socially acceptable erotica that women can be caught reading in public. And did you know that 50 Shades of Grey, the woman who wrote all this dreck, was originally writing it as Twilight fan fiction?
So all these things, supposed to be Edward.
Yes, all these things sort of beget each other.
So what is the newest and latest? How did they get your $11?
Well, they didn't. My friend paid because she knew I wouldn't go otherwise.
And what was it about? And why is this one more insulting than the first or the second one? And is somebody a race car driver? Because I'm in.
Yes. Okay. In fact, there is, and I have a clip to prove it. But this
do you have to see the first two to understand the third one?
Funny you should ask, Brian, because kind of.
Oh, no.
I was dragged to the first one, left halfway through it, never saw the second one, and tried to be a good friend and went with a group of girlfriends, a little brunch, a little of this action. And one of them was like, ooh, erotica, in the middle of the theater. I wanted to die. No, please, Brian, no. So you kind of have to know what happened in the first two, but I figured it out quickly because it's basically just one long soap opera episode.
Is her name Freed?
Her name is Anastasia Steele.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nobody's name is Freed.
Why is it called? Sorry, can you give us an overall why it's called Freed?
I don't know, but I think that it's because she's... It didn't explain it. I think that she's into bondage and they're all into tying each other.
Freed.
Okay. Yeah, and which makes no sense because this one she gets married to him, to Christian Grey.
Yeah.
And she keeps falling up because every time she goes back to work, she's getting promoted because she works in his company. So everybody has a reason to hate her, and one girl's giving her the stink eye and one guy's on the loose that's trying to get back at her. So you know something's coming, but you don't know what.
The whole story started when she was sent to interview him, but she wasn't in the original one. She took over her friend. It was sick. So the actual journalist got sick and she like stepped in for her roommate. I can see why the people at the company would hate her.
How do you know that, Brian?
I was told. Detailed recount of the movie.
So she's trying to adapt to this lavish lifestyle now with the giant oversized yachts and the Lear jets that apparently fly from nonstop from Seattle to France in his little private plane. And just kind of the whole first half of the movie is like one long video, like a music video.
Right.
We're supposed to, in all of these movies, women are force-fed this idea that a man loves you as much as he is willing to be possessive of you. And that
Let me break that down.
Okay.
He loves you as much as he's willing to be possessive
and
of
controlling,
you.
And controlling, yeah.
So, like, say, take me and Lynette. Like, okay. I'm not that, that controlling.
Right.
Or possessive.
Yeah.
She's not that controlling or possessive either. So does that mean minimum love?
You're not in love.
So I have to really care about like where she's going, who she's talking to,
and
what
really,
her moves are.
And really make her pay if she defies you. And be very forthcoming about your mommy and abandonment issues. Yeah. And that's what...
we'll discuss that on occasion.
You should talk about that once in a while.
But
she can drag that out of me. She applies me for enough vermouth. I may come clean.
He has major abandonment issues. He can't be left alone for 5 minutes. I think he has like a cluster B triad like personality disorder. But we're supposed to think that that's love.
Right.
That's what they keep telling us.
Right.
So this is the third movie. These characters don't seem like they like each other at all. Dakota Johnson talks with a baby voice the whole time.
Is this the number one movie right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
with
a
bullet.
Huge opening weekend.
Wow. I just assume that, again, it's more like, who drinks Mountain Dew? You got Squirt and Sprite and 7-Up. And it's like, lots of people drink Mountain Dew. And I'm like, I guess people are dumb.
I hate to throw my friends under the bus like this, but I was driving to the theater and I was talking to my dad. And I was like, do you know how much I'm not looking forward to being in an afternoon movie with a room full of middle-aged women going, woo, at the screen? Well, I was, and it was the women sitting next to me. It was my friends talking to the screen and hooting and hollering.
Well, to be fair to you and me and everyone else in terms of just having experiences, it's going to sound a little counterintuitive what I'm going to say here, but definitely one of the best times I've ever had in a movie theater. Not the best movie I've seen, but Sex and the City 2.
It was a classic.
When Jimmy bought everyone tickets and I ate some edibles and sat there in the front row.
That's a good time.
On opening night with all the gay fellas and the heavy set ladies just going, woo, woo, and everything.
You go, girl!
I had a good time.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a shared experience.
Now, I think I was pretty high. Yeah. I think that helped.
It was fun in that environment, and it's hilarious. If you go to a movie with just women and one person sneezes, 200 women will turn around and say, bless you. That was great. But to show how little these characters know each other, after they get married, they finally decide to have a discussion about if they want kids or not. Mm. And this was one of the many mind-blowing moments for me. Here's a clip.
I thought we were going to see a race car clip.
We will. Hold on.
I only agreed to this entire segment because there's going to be 8 seconds of her racing a car.
That is true. That was a convincing point.
Okay, this is after they are married and have known each other for God knows how long.
Wait a minute. Can I say this? It's another Sex and the City thing. Who eats dinner sort of formally, casually with their significant other? Like, I feel like I eat dinner standing up, holding a pot.
Counter.
Of something, and when Lynette comes in, I grunt at her to shut up. I'm watching TV.
That is the most unrealistic part of marriage, is that. And they're also when they sit next to each other at the table.
Yeah, on
there's
the
same
side.
Next to
there's
the
a bottle of wine there. That's right.
He'll
all
right, pour
here.
It ironically.
I'm occasionally side eye you and glance at you.
That's right.
Do you want to have kids someday, right?
Someday, sure.
You don't really sound sure.
You know what I am sure about? That's grit steak.
Christian.
It's good writing. It's good writing.
Let's get you drunk.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you not want to have kids?
Of course. One day, just not now. I'm not ready to share you with anyone.
No. That's a weird.
Is that going to eventually be sharing?
Yeah. A little playful steak action.
A little steak, yeah.
So that's like a fourth date conversation. That's
right.
Not after we've settled into our new home.
Yeah.
Also. Oh, there's a 555 phone number that really bumped me out of everything.
Reminds me of
a pivotal scene, by the way.
Mm.
And then, after being told that under no circumstances is she ever allowed to drive the, I believe it's an Audi Quattro. There's like, is that a thing? I thought it's a Quattro on it.
Yeah, it's a Quattro. It's just four-wheel drive.
Okay, it's a
Audi.
Quattro big on the
Well, it was big in the 80s, did a lot of rally
Audis
racing.
In this movie.
Well, now everyone's getting sponsored by somebody, so okay. that's just the way it works.
Well, she begs to drive this car. He says, absolutely not. Finally, they go look at the new mansion. I bought it for us. And then boring. She goes, can I please drive it? Okay. So they're just on this little windy forest road, no problem. When all of a sudden, they live in Seattle and he's just some entrepreneur. They're being tailed because he has security and everybody's after them because why? Who knows?
Right.
But now he lets her drive the car. They're being tailed. This is maybe 45 seconds of a 10-minute fast-paced car scene where she is at the wheel. Here's the beginning.
We're being followed.
That Dodge?
Yeah, sorry, I ran the plates. They're fake. Lose them.
Seriously?
Wow. Lose them.
Seriously. Lose them.
There you go.
Just like the ring outside. R10. I mean, R8 with the 10 and the Quattro.
You'll see the first slide onto the freeway, and it gets crazy after that, but I couldn't find the clip.
She's, hauling down a mountain road.
Timber trucks coming at him.
Big logging trucks. She drives around.
Her car is like an old Dodge. That's part of the plot.
Uh-huh.
But she has a lot of experience with it. So,
you know, there's
that
a,
goes on for a while.
There's a, they're both very happy. Can I say one thing that's super reoccurring in movies that wouldn't really happen in real life or never happens in real life? There's a lot of... In movies, there's a lot of like, okay, we're sitting down to eat in our penthouse apartment, and next thing you know, you say, oh, there's a package for you at the door, and then you take the package and you set it down on the entry hall table, and then you go, we'll open it after we finish sitting next to each other, and I'm going to feed you tantalizing morsels of steak from my own fork.
Blood red.
And at some point, there's a huge explosion. The package was a bomb. The windows shatter. The woman goes sliding across the floor. He grabs her hand at the last minute. She's dangling. 33rd floor.
She looks down.
She looks up. At some point, he starts to slide. The dog grabs onto his belt. The dog starts, pulling her back.
I'm waiting for the hard belief part.
Phil would never do. And then he gets her back up onto the thing. They hug. And then they smile.
Yes.
But they would be in shock.
There is
you'd
so
be,
much of
you'd
that.
Be just be like, yeah, oh, my God, oh, my God.
You're shaking.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? god! Oh my god! Yeah. Like, you would never be like, hey, we lost that guy.
You have adrenaline tremors. You can't stop shaking.
That is such a great point. There's so much of that.
Somebody was following you, and then you almost jackknifed a log truck, but you got by. You'd just be sitting there, like, breathing really hard. You'd have, like, a 10,000-yard stare. Yeah. Yeah. And you'd immediately go into, who's following us? Who's trying to kill us?
Yeah.
What's going on? It wouldn't be like, oh, that guy's 100 yards behind us. Problem solved. Hey. And they do that in all movies. Yeah. Like, they die and then they smile when they cheat death, but they never go, what's going on?
What just happened?
Right.
And you know what she says? I can't remember if it was in this clip or not, but he's like, good job. And she just looks in the windshield and goes, I'm a race car driver.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hacky. It's terrible. It's fun, I guess, especially if you're in a group with, you know, a bunch of women and stuff. But it's, they have the best last line. Not the last line, but one of the last lines of movies.
Yes. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Made $41 million domestically, 96 foreign, or I guess worldwide. Or are we adding those two numbers?
Add them together for
the total. They're added together.
Wow.
That's world. Wait. Oh, add them together for the worldwide total. Yeah. So
really?
Yeah.
Jeez, we're almost 135 million bucks.
But they promised this was the last one.
With these kinds of receipts.
He can, you know, he pays for everything. Everything is brought to him at the end of the movie. Trust me, this is not a spoiler. He tries to cook dinner for her because now he's just a domesticated, normal dude. And they're talking about all this serious stuff and pots are burning and things are on fire. And you get the perfect moment for, fuck this. We're getting takeout.
That's the end.
It's so exhausting.
Is it fantasy, not sexual fantasy, but lifestyle fantasy porn for girls?
Yes. Oh, and speaking of fantasy, everyone just goes to see all the like the sub-dom shit in the red room or whatever it's called. They're only in there twice.
Right.
It was like they chained her to a radiator once and then they went on with the movie. So it's like, whatever. But yeah, it's porn for everything, for larger than life lifestyle, for a guy who needs you because he's so hurt and fucked up. Mm. It's all that kind of stuff that whoever wrote this, who does Twilight fan fiction, thinks that that's what women want. And it is fairly insulting.
All right, good.
Go see it. Two thumbs up. Yeah. Right up her butt.
What percentage of the audience thinks saw it ironically? Think everyone in the theater was there to see it like they're in for Fifty Shades? Or like
I don't
there was
know.
A little bit of like joke watching, hate watching?
Yeah, there was a lot of giggling and stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's the thing. It's like it got made three times. Yeah. So somebody's buying
fantasy.
It
was the joke really on.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, you got to think like how much is really ironic joke watching because I watch a lot of films under the umbrella of ironic joke watching, but I'm there.
You're committed.
I'll be there Fast 9. I'll be right in that front row Fast 9 and it's not, I don't look at it as great art, but I'm watching.
Yeah.
Like I'm enjoying. It's kind of hard to separate.
And all that said, if I'm flipping around and there's nothing else on and this comes on, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember this movie. And I'll probably finish it.
I'm going to be outraged for a second.
Okay.
Because I had this thought driving in here yesterday. And I sent at the Porcelain Punisher finally on a little road trip. But I was driving in. And the way I drive in, I come down the 134 freeway, which is basically from Pasadena and starts heading this way toward, for those of you who aren't familiar with the area, Pasadena is sort of off the one side, and then you start driving into what is like the proper San Fernando Valley. Start heading into Toluca Lake and Studio City and
everybody
Burbank
caught up.
And North Hollywood. And you just go, the one big San Fernando Valley is where all those places are. It's where I grew up. And then Dr. Drew grew up over in Pasadena. It's always funny when I talk to Dr. Drew. Oh, by the way, just a funny, a more realistic depiction of what goes on in a high-performance sports car was the time when they gave me the Lamborghini Gallardo to drive around. By the way, the Lamborghini Gallardo, all-wheel drive, and the Audi R, well, the Quattro just means all-wheel drive. The R... It's a Audi R8 10 cylinder.
That's easy to remember.
Well, Audi had and they have an S8 already, which is their biggest sedan. Then they decided to name their race car, their smallest car, the R8, which is already R8 and S8. And then it started with a V8 in it, but then it went to a V10. Oh, so it's now the R8 10 Quattro, all-wheel drive. Same platform, the Lamborghini Gallardo, all-wheel drive, V10, mid-engine, is built on. Mm-hmm. I think Audi owns Lamborghini is the way it works. But anyway, in the same thing, clad in the Lamborghini, they gave me the car to drive around for a couple days. I was driving, having fun. I would drive at the time across the bridge, across the Hollywood Freeway, get onto Hollywood, and cross the bridge, Hollywood Freeway, get onto Mulholland, and then famously, the Mulholland Drive. They made movies about racing on Mulholland Drive. Take a car on a Mulholland Run.
Windy, a movie called Mulholland beautiful. Drive.
That's right. And I was sitting there with Lynette wanted to drive it.
And I said, I'm a race car driver. She would never do that.
Said, okay. And I said, it's kind of an interesting wiring because there are a lot of people where if I go, 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 they will react with nothing. And then a lot of other people do more go than you want.
Right.
I don't feel like there's ever like a normal amount of go, go, go. Mm. But everybody should have the experience, I think, of when you do a whole bunch of driving schools, you'll have the instructor just sitting in the passenger seat, and he'll just reach over and grab the wheel and start pulling it more, like as you're going around a corner at 90 miles an hour. Just reach over, and he'll go more, more, more. All right, brake, brake, brake. And I'll start pushing. He'll go, get back, get back, get back. And he'll like push the wheel and whatever. And you just kind of get used to being coached or moved around or whatever. And it doesn't strike you as anything that's alarming. And also you understand the guy's a driving instructor. He probably knows what he's doing.
Because it sounds incredibly distracting.
It's what you want. You want more. You want him to give his input into what's going on. And you want him to go more accelerator, back off, or whatever it is. But we pulled onto Mulholland and like a car went by. And then I looked to the right and I saw like a big dump truck or something like turning the corner, starting to lumber up the hill. And I was like, go, 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 go. We got to get in front of the dump truck. And she's froze. You know, I was like, go, 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 turn left, go. And he's like, nope, not moving. And then the lumber truck drove by and then she turned. And then we took this Lamborghini Gallardo at an average of about between 11 and 13 miles an hour all the way around. And of course, there's no turnoffs. Once you get up there, there's nothing. It's just, we just took a run.
Leisurely Sunday stroll.
And of course, I just sat there the whole time going, you got to listen. If you don't listen, you get caught behind the garbage truck of life. This is what, like, when I say go, you got to go. When I say go, 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 you certainly got to go.
Go, go, go.
That was a nice conversation we had. I'm sure.
She had a great time.
A far cry from the experience they had over here in 50 Shades.
You never looked at her and said, lose him.
Lose. No. So, took the 134, was heading over here, would then get onto the 5 freeway and take the 5 freeway and get off on the first exit or so. And I did what I always do, which is I looked up at the electronic freeway sign and I thought, what horrible, redundant, nothing burger information that they put up this time. Do we have the standard click it or ticket? Is there a cone zone twist? Is there something to do with texting and driving or handheld or all the no shit Sherlock stuff they put on? That's just a big fat waste of my time and taxpayer money. And I looked up and it said 5 freeway on ramp closed. And next 5, you know, next 3-5 exits closed, exit San Fernando.
And useful and relevant.
I had a moment. I had a moment like everyone, you know, I always say disappointers never disappoint, but then every once in a while, you'll be sitting with the cheapest guy alive and you'll have a nice dinner. And at the end of the dinner, they'll reach for the check and you'll go, you're reaching for the check. And they go, hey, you pay every time. Why not have it come back at you every once in a while? And you go, oh, okay. And then you go to the bathroom and they're going to pay the check. And then you come back and they sit down and they go, so listen, I have an opportunity, a financial opportunity I think you're going to love. Now, I got some land. It's in the Coastal Commission, but I know some people on the Coastal Commission. Now, I don't have enough for the down. If you and you go, oh, okay, that's why you just paid this check.
It
you
all
just
adds up.
You just paid your $63 check because you're putting the clamps on me for $50,000.
It's
right?
An
That's the next. But at least whatever just happened now makes sense to me.
$48 well spent on your end.
Right. It did not make sense a moment ago since you never pay for anything. But now it makes sense. So I remember I looked up at the sign and I went, there's never any pertinent information on these signs that could ever benefit me or any Los Angelino, but I guess this is the day. And I started to make my way to the right. And I was like, well, done and done. I'm getting off on San Fernando. And I started to get off on San Fernando. And as I was getting off on San Fernando, I was like, I don't trust them. I don't trust them because I'm always right. And the reason I'm always right is not because I have any information. I just study patterns. And when patterns don't work, I'm right. So as I'm getting off on San Fernando, I start looking ahead because the turnoff is the next turnoff onto the 5. And I'm like, I see people moving along pretty good. I don't see cones or people waving people off.
All people trained to ignore the sign too.
I guess. And they're just happily climbing right onto that 5 and going about their way. And now I have to get off and wind my way through Burbank to get to the shop. But when I get to the shop, and this is my whole thing. Look, I was at NASA, and the guy was going, right, we built a stand for a robotic arm. And I'm like, not that stand.
Too big.
He's like, that stand. That's the one we use for the arm. It's too big. It's too much. Yes, no, it's not. Like, I had to keep going and going and going.
I think we know, sir.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So as soon as I get off the freeway, I get on the phone with Matt Fondelier, and I'm like, you're out in Pasadena, right? He's like, yeah. Did you take the it's so sad that I have to do this. I guess I don't have to, but I'm
compelled to.
I'm compelled. Like, you took the 134. Yeah. Did you get on the freeway? Did you get on? Did you take the 5? No, I got off. I saw the freeway sign. I got off on San Fernando. Okay. Did you see other cars like going around the 5? Looked like it wasn't blocked up. Yeah. I saw other cars going, but I don't. It seemed open. I said, okay, where are you? It's like, I'm at the shop. Get in your car.
I knew it.
Get in your car. You did not send him back there.
Hell yes, I sent him back. Hell to the yes, I sent him back. Go get Matt.
Oh, no. Poor Matt.
No, what do you mean? He was part of the team.
Billable hours.
Team victory.
Yeah, man.
So, Matt, you got back in your car because I refuse to believe that this city could do anything that could benefit anybody who lives in this city, right?
Big to small.
Now, I'm guessing if you come from Portland or Indiana, you don't see a freeway sign and go, oh, bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. What are you trying to pull?
But you come from L.A., and
you
again,
not
they're not
going to
break their streak of helping taxpayers, right? Or not helping taxpayers.
I, too, was also very impressed that there was some practical information on the light board. So this was very devastating.
Right. So you got back in the car.
Yeah, I got back into the car and just sort of retraced the steps, you know, from the 5 back onto the 134, looped back around, found out the ramp to the 5 wide open, the exit that we would normally take, which is the first exit that you would take, wide open, but I just kept driving anyway. Second exit, wide open. Third exit, wide open. At that point, I called Adam and said, I'm coming in.
I'm in Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, goddamn Christ. No, he's in Sun Valley.
What are they trying to pull?
Well, first off, if you don't have the constant sort of pressure of having to actually do something, compete, you know, folks nipping
at
your
at the top. Yeah.
Right.
Well, we do a podcast. There's 200,000 podcasts on iTunes and then beyond iTunes, another 2 million. Yeah. Like, I don't know, but we can't show up on Tuesdays and Thursdays drunk and mail it in. There's folks we got to deal. We have to compete with. So they have no competition. I would imagine that they put that up because the work crew was working at 2 a.m. that night till 5 a.m. or something like that. Of course, when we happened along at 4 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon, they could have taken that information off the site and off the sign and prevented thousands of people from getting off the freeway needlessly. But who cares in their mind? And I just imagine it was on the sign and then the workmen packed up and they left.
Yeah.
And nobody alerted.
Nobody turned the sign off.
But it's because they don't care. If they cared, then they'd have a system. The system would be, people act like there's a system, there is a system, or there's not a system. There's caring first. There's caring, then there's a system. You have to care, and then there's a system. If you don't care, there's no goddamn system because you don't care. Then so what? Why would it? Whatever it is, whatever you're trying to do at your house, yeah, you charge your phone or lock your doors or whatever, your system is because you care. You don't want a dead phone. If you didn't care, then it wouldn't matter. Kids sort of don't care. The city doesn't care. You have to sort of get them to care. So I imagine they did work that night. It'd probably been over for 4 to 7 hours, and nobody wanted to zero out the sign.
And I don't know if this happened to you, but there were like 15 cars backed up from the exit at San Fernando of everybody trying to get off the freeway. It added 5-10 minutes onto the drive.
And the city laughed and laughed.
What the fuck? How many times can we be last in traffic worldwide, and when is some politician going to bring it up? Those are my questions.
You know what's crazy in today's day and age? How do those signs never get hacked? How does some, you know, enterprising entrepreneur or some wacky kid, how do those signs never get hacked?
I don't know, but it would be awesome if they were.
Somebody hack it who's listening to the show and put like, you know, drive like champions today, Adam Carolla.
Or hashtag RCS.
That's right. That's, we got to raise awareness.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you guys about Unreal, the critically acclaimed series, makes its highly anticipated return to Lifetime. Let's see. This is Dr. Drew's favorite show. Hmm. Then he got Vinny. Binge watch it. Now it's Vinny's favorite show.
That is so cool.
It's a fictional behind-the-scenes glimpse into the chaos surrounding the production of a dating competition show called Everlasting. The season's this season, there's a new female on set who's shaking things up. She's going to take the reins as Everlasting's suitress. That's right. Mm-hmm. Suitor. Mistress. Suitress. She'll have her pick of the hunky male suitors while facing off with her female producers. This is an awesome show. New season premieres Monday, February 26, 10 o'clock, 9 central on Lifetime. Once again, Monday, February 26, 10 o'clock, 9 central on Lifetime. Unreal. All right, let's see. We had the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie from Corona's on.
What could he possibly want?
What could he possibly want? Ronnie from Corona?
Hey, what's up, Ace Man?
Hey, man.
Hi, baby doll.
Hi.
How's it going? How's the four-wheeling going over there?
It's been doing good. I just had to put new gears in the back. I blew them out over there at Azusa Canyon. But I've been nervous, man. I got to tell you, I just found out, Gina, you're a free woman now, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, free agent, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this picture you just put up a couple days ago with the beautiful eyebrows. And I've been laying low because my friend heard the podcast and said, there's no way you're going to hook up with her if you keep pushing so hard. So I backed it off.
Smart. Mm-hmm.
And I cooled my jets. And I want to ask you something, Gina.
Okay.
Would you be my Valentine?
Oh, that's very sweet.
Ooh, erotica!
Well, Gina, let me ask first. I'll buy you some time.
Okay, thank you.
Nice way to say no.
Guys get a very mixed message. There's a lot of stories of like this guy came over, he sat down next to me, he handed me a drink. I was like, he totally invaded my space. You know, gross. Like he came over, like he was overt, like he came on to me.
Yeah.
Then you hear half the women's like, I didn't like him at first, but he was relentless.
He wouldn't take no for an answer.
He ground me down.
Well, which is it? I mean, there's some women that are like totally put off by the guy coming over and being assertive and doing whatever, and then the others that just somehow they win them over. Mm. Now, I guess they have to be. I guess a lot of that win over story is a little self congratulatory, which is I'm hot and people are coming on to me and they're really relentless about it. It's the Oprah version of women of color have it so much more difficult and women in general have it so much difficult. but you're a billionaire, so you must be an insane genius, whereas Zuckerberg's just garden variety genius, but you're a super genius because you just laid out these extra obstacles. They don't really come out and say it, but it's a weird, it's a do the math, self-congratulatory, whatever. Is there the guy wouldn't take no for an answer and he would just keep coming on to me? Is that a little blowing a little smoke up your own vagine?
Honestly, I not to shit on your excellent point, but I've always had an issue with that theory, with that scenario. I think it's the other way around. I think it's a dude being super creepy and finally just exhausting a woman who finally is just like, well, fine. I don't think, you know, like when people are like, I got friend zoned, which is the dumbest thing anyone could say. Like, I'm sorry that you're not her type. I'm sorry that you're not what she's looking for, but she'd still like to have you in her life. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Well, that's, it's a weird message, obviously, which is, well, if she says no the first 18 times, she's still got to come back for a 19th. Right.
Yeah. Like, it's all made up.
My theory is the chick was obviously attracted to the guy or she would have never signed off on it. And she must have given him little bits and morsels along the way to keep him going.
Because
when
totally
it's just
happens.
A full shutdown, we keep moving.
You're right.
We're not into wasting our own, our chi.
And there is some good ego validation in there. So you're absolutely right about that. Now, as it pertains to Ronnie, there are things about Ronnie that I'm starting to turn a corner on finding attractive that I've never really been into before, like trust funds.
Yeah.
And mansions.
And also, you're Jewish, so you love rock crawling and Jeeps.
Correct.
Right? Because that's not like on the
Shabbos,
number one.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's that's their sport.
Right.
Rock crawling and modified Jeeps. That's Ronnie's scene, right?
And that's just one of my scenes, dude. As a matter of fact, you know, if things worked out down the road, Gina, an Audi R8 in the garage for you would be fine with me.
Oh.
Would you ever look at me and go, lose him, and then I could drive really fast?
Now, I'm not into that kind of weird stuff. Okay. Like Ace Man says, he watches movies that make sense. But I will say this. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with maybe if you'd wore one of those hot outfits one time. But that's a long way down the road.
Oh, see, I like that you're willing to take your time, Ronnie. That is very attractive.
What's your first date? How's that lay out for you?
Okay, well, let me pitch this to you, Carolla, because I think you're going to find this rather unique, and I put some thought into it, because Adam always says, don't do your best, do mine, and so here's what I would propose to you, Gina, because I don't want to, I mean, we're strangers pretty much, but I'll tell you a couple things. I've woken up two times this week, and the same song's been on two of the three times, and it's that song by Howie Day called Collide. It's You and Me Collide, and I always think of you when that song comes on.
Oh, that's nice.
So
I don't know that song.
I don't either.
It's beautiful.
Okay, Brian's
trying to look for it.
It's a very sweet song.
Yeah.
What year is it from?
It's a beautiful song.
Is this new song?
It's probably about 5 years old or something. So here's what I think. It's something
2003, says Max Zapata.
Oh, wow. How did I miss it?
Oh, geez, that's a...
That's 5 years.
You want me to give you a minute?
Yeah.
The dawn is breaking.
A light shines. So you think of Gina when you hear this song?
And every time it comes on. Waking. And I'm tangled up in you.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Crooner.
Sing it, Ronnie.
Wait till it comes.
All right. Yeah, we're going to wait for the hook.
Yeah, how dare you.
I'm open your clothes. I choked up a little.
Yeah, I get it.
Won't see your face.
Who sings this song? Beside you, Ronnie.
Pardon me?
Who sings this song?
Howie Day.
Howie.
I think that's a Hussein.
Well, I get a lot of typos. Oh, autocorrect. Howie.
Here's the best part.
All right, here we go. Turn it up. Here we go. You and I collide. Ronnie, you gonna sing here?
Very Dawson's Creek.
I'm waiting for the part to come back. Quiet, you know. You make a
You make the first impression. Scared to know you're always on my mind. Even the best fall down sometimes.
Just picture Ronnie laying out tarp.
I don't like it. I love it.
A length of rope.
On me too.
All right.
Do you think one of the lines is, does this rag smell like chloroform to you?
Move over, DJ Khaled. There's a new zero talent musician in town.
DJ Khaled, all he does is points at the ceiling and goes, you know, my hands are up, my hands are
This is Dawson's Creek theme,
very,
right?
I mean, it's not, but
Sarah,
it sounds like
whatever,
it.
Whatever. Who's
Barry Ellis. Barry Ellis.
No, is that her?
Paula, no, you're thinking of Paula.
Paula Cole?
Paula
Cole.
Yeah, that's Dawson's Creek.
And you know another song?
No.
There's one more that makes me think of you, too. It's Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
I love that song. You know, there's a sweet Willie Nelson cover of that song, by the way, that I love. But yeah, this is a great song.
I'll check it out tonight.
Okay.
You know, that'll maybe be our song down the road.
Oh.
So what's a good evening? What's a good date, Ronnie?
So what I was thinking is just to keep it, easy peasy and not get you all worried because we've never met.
Right.
I'll bring my niece with us. And she's 14 and she thinks you're super cool.
Oh, that's fun. So we're going to babysit?
I kind of like that.
I like that, too.
Chaperone?
Yeah, chaperone. I like that.
And because you like kids and dogs too, right?
I love both of those, yeah.
I like the easy peasy titty squeezy thing that you're doing here. I think that's, or maybe I may have added that. But
you got to keep it PG, you know, bring the kid. You know,
yeah. What would we do?
And do some,
what do we do? What's the activity?
So I was thinking we would do go to like one of those places like Malibu Ski Town or something where we can do arcade games. We can drive the drifter cars.
That sounds fun.
I know.
Some mini golf.
What I was thinking.
Yeah, a little putt-putt.
And miniature golf.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if the sparks are flying and it feels like we've got a connection, because we'll know. I mean, you'll know and I'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And you give me that kind of wink like, hey, it's good, Ronnie. I'm with you. Then we'll go ditch her and we'll really go out and have some fun.
Go ditch the one person who doesn't have a driver's license.
I like that.
Yeah, this is Ronnie. This isn't bad. I gotta give credit where credit's due.
Oh, I feel so much better. I was stressing out a little bit, because I didn't know which way you would go with it. But you're pretty mellow about things.
I'm pretty mellow. Yeah, that's true.
Would she have to come out to Corona, or were you going to come out to her?
Yeah, you going to pick me up in that rock climber? Or?
Now I think I'll bring the vet out this time. The Jeep is something you don't want to drive super long distance on the highway because it's just. It's more for a round town cruising. What I do with it is I trailer it. When we go out, like if we're going to go to Pismo or we're going to go up to, say, Wrightland or something and go in the forest, I'll put her on the trailer enclosed and I'll bring her up there with my new Platinum F-350.
Ronnie, this sounds pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you.
What kind of tires do you put on it when you go to Pismo?
You mean like if I'm going to go paddles?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
What does that mean?
Let this check. Well, you know, there's like little indicators where people go, well, how do you know he knows something about Jeep? Because I said, what kind of tires do you put on when you go to Pismo? And he goes, if I go to paddles, you mean? Which is paddle tires.
Because
he's in the sand.
So he knows he'd run a different
tire in there. Yeah. All right, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Gina, you want to think about this?
I do want to think about that, Ronnie. And I appreciate that you sure know how to make a girl feel special. Thank you.
And you can get back in that Jeep just like your childhood. Mm-hmm. Paddles at Pismo, put the knobbies on for the rock climbing.
Excuse me?
Rock crawling.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like your childhood.
Yeah.
All right, let's say our guest is here. Should we do the Rotten? Let's do the Rotten Tomatoes game, then we'll bring our guest in.
Let's do it.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dawson names of flicks. And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Feels like it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Too long. Some say too long.
We have a Valentine's Day themed edition. So these are all Valentine's Day-ish movies. Our first one harkens back to the beginning of 1977 when Harry Burns and Sally Albright share a contentious car ride from Chicago to New York. And then they meet again 10 years later, try to be friends without letting sex get involved in 1989's When Harry Met Sally.
Great movie.
That was a funny movie. All right. Funny. What's not to like? Brian was sort of alluding this a little on the air maybe a few days ago, but I hate the idea that comedies, and especially rom-coms, are like held to some sort of whatever, that when someone, it's a very tough genre to pull off, because not only does it have to have jokes and good comedy, but you have to really like the characters, and you have to hope, hope they get together, and it's like a love story and stuff. And yet people, when they judge these things, they put their jeweler's loop on, and they're like, and listen, all I'm saying is give it the same whatever you give Moonlight, which is like, we don't put the same jeweler's loop in when it's a tug at your heartstrings, you know, inner city, whatever, crackhead, something, something, kids, you're struggling with sexuality. Like,
is it a well-told story? Someone you're rooting
why for? Why can't this movie be a 97? Why can't it? It was like, well,
right,
because they were kidding around.
It's so light.
It's
fluff.
Okay, nobody had AIDS.
Right.
But can you still recognize that this is difficult, super difficult to pull off?
The sequel when Harry said goodbye to Sally.
Right. All right. So people had to like this. Oh, it's a Nora Ephron thing, right?
Yes. She wrote it. I think Rob Reiner directed it.
Yeah. I'm going to give a couple of bonus points for those two fellas on there. And people sort of dislike Billy Crystal later, but not now.
This is prime. This is a prime man. Meg Ryan.
I think they like a woman at the helm, and these are Nora Ephron's story. So I'm going to say, I got to write this down and make it official. I'm going to say 91.
Yeah, I said 83. I hope it's higher, but I feel like I might get knocked down for the reasons you mentioned. It's so light.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
I don't know anyone who doesn't love this movie, who doesn't revere this movie. It's a classic. I think it gets points for being an older movie. Mm. I said 93.
Mm. When Harry Met Sally, certified fresh, 89%.
Okay,
Right in there.
And that's exactly where the audience had it.
Yeah, it's always there, like, hey, 59 critics liked it, and then 7 went, no, it's not a C-. Because you got to get to 60%.
It's hard to believe. No one can objectively watch this and go, it's at least good.
Carrie Fisher, Bruno Kirby.
At least good.
60 will get you into the fresh category, but you're giving it a 59.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our next movie, based on Truman Capote's novel, features Aubrey Hepburn and George Peppard in a movie that I have never seen, and I hear it has very little breakfast and almost no Tiffany's. 1961's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Well, Brian likes the racial overtones, but I disagree.
The score's going to outrage me.
Whenever they make a movie about a song, it never... let me finish.
He blew something.
Brian, can I finish?
I'm sorry,
can I finish?
I'm very excited.
Whenever they take, you make a movie about a book.
Sure.
That could be a good movie.
Yeah, it's a hit.
You pick a song from like Friends or something.
Right.
And then you make a movie about
Around it.
It just doesn't work out because
this song,
and please no one interrupt. The song is like 3 minutes and 10 seconds long. The movie has to be 90 minutes, so it's like twice or five times as long as the song.
Do the math.
Okay? Do the math. Do the math. So it's like, great. He doesn't even sing about Aubrey Hepburn in this. I guess they cast it. No, they probably cast
probably
it after.
Know when he was writing
right.
The song.
That's stupid. Okay, yeah, that's the first stupid thing I've ever said. All right, so they make this song. Could be a Tool tune.
This is absolutely a Tool tune.
Roll them up.
Oh, man. All right. So thank you.
The poster says not suitable for children. Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Wow. They must have stuck that on the video store. Okay. Anyway, this is one of those movies that I assume everyone just says is great, but no one's really seen it and loved it or anything. Brian was just railing about it. But also...
I hate it because it's one of those ones kind of like Scarface that people say they love and either they don't love it or they haven't seen it.
Scarface is a terrible movie.
Scarface is a terrible movie. Come at me.
No, it's the number one. It's the number one film in the black community.
There's a few moments, not a for sure. Sign. There's a few moments.
And he plays the, role well.
It's a three-hour mess.
It's a joke. Yeah, it's still ridiculous, but like sort of entertaining in a ridiculous way. But anyway.
This is a tough one.
Also, there's movies like I could never figure out certain things. Like, why do we all have to love Breakfast at Tiffany's or just so we won't be critiqued? Like, it's like all gay guys loved Liz Taylor. And I'd go, what's the crazy love for Liz Taylor? And they go, did you see her as Cleopatra? Yeah. She was stunning. And I'm like, you don't even like pussy. What do you care?
How can that be the...
Why should you be so taken?
Her being hot, Anna Nicole Smith was hot when she was 19. Does that mean we should worship at the altar of Anna Nicole? Or like, like what? This is your measuring stick? Where she was beautiful. When she was 14 in international
velvet.
National velvet. Sorry. She was, I made a broader scope. I went international.
Oh, yeah, the sequel.
National velvet. She was beautiful. It's like, okay, but why does that make it a good movie? Okay.
Okay.
Exactly what this is.
Brian hates it.
I do.
The critics have to love it just because they have to, because she's so elegant. And
she's an icon in this
iconic
movie.
Yeah. The glasses and the dress.
For that, I'm going to say critics have it at 86.
I'm praying it's at 86 because that means there's probably some recent reviews of, because time has not been kind to this movie. No. We mentioned the racial stuff.
It's very
stuff,
offensive. Right.
But I'm gonna say it's sitting at 90%.
I went close to you, Adam. I said 85.
Breakfast at Tiffany's is certified fresh at 88%.
Wow, right in there.
All right. I'm having a good run so far.
You are, and you're in luck because our next movie is also based on a song. This time it's based on a song by Leonard Skinner. And in this movie, Reese Witherspoon reprises
Sweet Home Alabama!
Role. She reprises her role as Gizmo the Mogwai from Gremlins, but this time it's in Alabama in 2002, Sweet Home Alabama.
This was a horrible era of movies where they did name a lot of movies after completely unrelated songs. This, at least, she goes back to Alabama. But there was a stretch of movies, rom-coms, where they named them after Addicted to Love was one of them. Head Over Heels. Like they just named after, hey, that's a familiar sounding pop song. That's
right. That'll get asses in the seats.
Oh.
Now, this is a lot. What was that Michael J. Fox country doctor?
Doc Hollywood.
Great
like a, film.
Kind of that fish out of watery thing.
What does the movie poster say? I can't read it from here.
I fall in love.
Sometimes what you're looking for is right where you left it.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean anything. Okay. Now here's the, Brian.
Do you want to hear a quick list? From 97 to 02, we had Addicted to Love, Fools Rush In, Drive Me Crazy, Simply Irresistible, Head Over Heels, Someone Like You, and The Sweetest Thing. All had nothing to do with the titles of the songs that came out years before.
Oh, The Sweetest Thing. That movie sucked.
I hated that movie.
That was written by a female writer who got like $1 million or something.
She was really hot, but
it was a ridiculously bad movie. It was Cameron Diaz
and Applegate.
Selma Blair.
Yeah.
Oh.
They wanted very badly to be like a Brat Pack, but for women.
Okay.
But they would just keep playing that's the Sweetest Thing song all throughout the thing. It was ridiculously bad movie. Okay.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama. Now, I'm sitting at about 4 points here, so I'm feeling good. But this is a movie that on the high end could be 60 or 65, and on the low end could be in the teens.
Uh-huh.
And I have no idea, and I got about a 40-point spread there. So I'm going to say Sweet Home Alabama is rotten at... Everyone loves Reese Witherspoon. 44.
This is going to separate the men from the boys. I went 70 because Reese was riding.
What?
Reese was riding pretty high at this point. I think she was. I think people were buying her act.
I have no idea what this movie's about. What's it about?
She gets divorced and moves back to Alabama or something. This is the one. You have a baby in a bar, and like our Lord friends are still living there. But she's like a cosmopolitan girl. Mm-hmm. She lives in New York.
And who's the fetching young man, the hometown boy?
I've actually never seen the movie.
Okay.
Jake, played by Josh Lucas.
Okay. There you go. I don't know anything about it, doesn't do anything for me. I said 39.
Oh, no.
Sweet Home Alabama is rotten.
Dang.
At 38%.
Oh. Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
But, Brian, in your defense, the people love this movie.
78.
Yeah. I heard a lot of people saying good things. Obviously, it's part of the 78% of the audience.
In our next movie, Hugh Grant plays a London bookstore owner whose humdrum existence is thrown into romantic turmoil when a woman played by Julia Roberts walked into the store. They spill some orange juice and they kiss and blah, 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 blah. 1999's Notting Hill.
I have never seen any of these movies except Harry Met Sally because I don't like chick flicks. And so I've never seen this, and everyone can't believe I haven't seen this.
This is not a bad movie.
Everyone says this is the one you have to see.
It was About a Boy is probably the one, right?
Oh, yeah, that's
You've
another
Love
one.
Actually, obviously.
No,
oh,
I
Love
haven't.
Actually.
I've never
right.
seen
oh,
it.
All right, so this isn't Love Actually, but this is
that
Notting
vibe.
Hill.
Where she's a big celebrity and falls
oh,
in love
right.
with him.
Oh, right. So Love, they're at the height of their powers. Love Actually is, you know, 90s or high 80s or whatever. And this is Notting Hill. But so what is this one? I feel like people like it. They didn't love it. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to say 77.
Oh, it's 76.
82?
Notting Hill is certified fresh at 85.
Oh!
Wow.
Like that. Surging like that.
It's a close, very close game here, man.
Our final movie, Renee Zellweger, Colin Firth, Hugh Grant again. At the start of the new year, 32-year-old Bridget decides it's time to take control of her life and start keeping a diary. So she does. A bunch of other stuff happens. And they made a movie out of it. 2001's Bridget Jones's Diary.
Never seen any of these either.
Oh, you haven't seen this?
All right. Now, the first one is good. The second one's probably not.
There's three, right? And there's
two or
like
three.
A baby. She has a baby.
Yeah. All right. Brian's a little off the pace here, but Gina and I are got to be within 2 or 3 points of each other at this particular stage. Don't tell us. Let's see. Now, I think they liked it. Three Bridget Jones films.
This is a big book, too, before it became a movie.
Big book.
Big property.
It's called
right.
Renee's
It's a really
house.
Popular song.
It was controversial
Bridget
also.
Jones Diaries.
Controversial because it's a about? British book and a British everything, but it cast an American play the lead, and that wasn't okay with the Brits at first.
Yeah, okay.
What do they know?
What do they know? But it could reflect in the score. So, I have to play a little conservatively. On the other hand, you got to go for the win here because we're within a couple of points of each other. A higher end score would be mid-80s, mid-upper 80s. A more conservative score would be mid-70s. I'm going right back. No. 83.
Oh, I needed more points than that. Yeah. 88, I said.
I said 80.
Bridget Jones's Diary is certified fresh, dead on the nose at 80.
Yes!
Wow!
I'm great with chick flicks. I should start
watching some of these.
5-point deduction. That just turned the tide. Now,
you know, I needed this. I needed
if that
this.
Was above 83, I think I would have been in really close there. But
this is another good movie. You should see this.
All right.
Jim Broadbent's great.
It's a pretty tight game here.
Yeah.
Let's all give
a couple people.
Bald Brian a round of applause. For having both numbers in his double-digit score matching, 55.
Oh.
Leaving Gina Grad and Adam Carolla. Gina.
Yeah?
I am sorry to Adam because he got second place with 19 points. Gina, the best score in Rotten Tomatoes history.
What?
4.
What?
Oh, with the point deduction.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting.
You have the crown.
Wow. Oh, God. I needed this win. This feels good.
Ronnie. That's oh, my God.
Awesome. I needed a good day. Thanks, guys.
And you've seen how many of these movies?
I've seen One? When Harry Met Sally and half of Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I turned it off.
And before people start tweeting us, Notting Hill, we said 85. It's actually 83, and that score reflected it.
Oh, great.
Okay. Right. Oh, so it seemed even closer.
Oh, right. Oh, so I had two negative fives, or did I not have 83? Anyway.
What was that? What was your?
You said 82 for that one.
Oh, okay.
So you got even closer.
It's weird because I was like, God, I thought we were 3 off by the time I got them. But there's a few more.
4.
This feels
4.
Good. You should quit.
Okay,
should
bye.
Quit. On the show.
Yeah, Adam, you were single digits the whole way, but.
That's
pretty close. Good.
All right. Our next guest, we'll bring in a couple of few, Kenny Aronoff. He has drummed with such players as John Cougar Mellencamp, Johnny Cash, the Rolling Stones, Joe Jackson, John Fogerty, Gladys Knight, and the Pips, Elton John, Willie Nelson, Smashing Pumpkins, Joe Cocker, just to name a few. He's got a book out, Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll. We'll talk to Kenny right after the break in Good Sports.
One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this episode of Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we've been talking about a lot of sports. I'm proud of both of us for that.
Yeah, I know. We're normally off into the weeds talking about anything but sports.
All right, let's do so. Let's talk about that alternative. There are a couple things we really have to get to. And I'm not sure which to start with. All right, we've been talking about my trip to the Twin Cities, which, by the way, I enjoyed it there. It's a beautiful place. The people are lovely. I don't understand. Why's it got to be the Twin Cities? And I didn't get a satisfactory answer from any resident there. Why can't they come together? Why's it got to be St. Paul and Minneapolis? Why can't they just be one?
Or why can't we just have, like, Glendale and Burbank and just call each one Glendale and Burbank? Why'd I have to give it the Twin Cities? You know what I mean? I know we have multiple cities here. I don't know how the rest of the world works, but I feel like I can go to Minnesota and imagine myself staying at a hotel in Minneapolis and then going to the theater in St. Paul and doing a show and then coming back to Minnesota. My mind isn't blown by that thought.
Yeah.
I don't need the title. Yeah. So much so that you name the team, the Twins.
Yeah, you're really embracing it. Now you can't change
right,
it.
Right.
Somebody tweeted at me, as a matter of fact, you could go Minneapolis, you know, and then everybody's happy, I would think. I don't know. Anywho, my otherwise great time, and by the way, I hate to self-promote, but look me up on social media. I got Ace. I don't know what I did. You can imagine. I know you would love this. All our pals would love this. You know how much I love football. I'm not an Eagles fan. I was happy to see them win because it knocked the Patriots off of – they didn't catch the Steelers in the ring count. And I don't think people care about that outside of the Niners, Cowboys, Steelers, and the Patriots. But that group does. Even Michael Irvin told me that he was rooting for the Eagles. I said, the Eagles? After the fans booed, you know, cheered your injury? He's like, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than me. We can't let them get the six. So I was overjoyed. Anyhow, they let me down on the field as soon as the game was over with all the players, and I'm kibitzing with them. I'm like, hey, congratulations, man. Hey, thanks, man. Like, you know, it was insane. It really was just a bizarre. I was there with the Super Bowl trophy. It was just some day. Anyhow, the whole trip, though, was sullied. I want to show you something, Ace. You're not prepare yourself. Mm-hmm. Graphic content, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're sitting down here. Please show what I saw in a restaurant, a crowded restaurant.
Oh.
A foot.
Shoes off.
A foot! I'm ingesting food, and there's a bare foot on a grown man next to me.
That's a man?
That's a man, Ace. And let me tell you something else about that foot that you see. Not pictured. His left shoe and sock on. This indicates to me that there's something wrong, something diseased with the shoe and with the right foot, requiring him to remove the sock and shoe, to air it out. Gout? I don't know what's going on, but it's disgusting, and it shouldn't be made my problem. And what kind of society do we have here? We have no society at all, and it's time to burn it down and start anew.
You're right. We should treat our society like an Etch-a-Sketch and a paint can shaker. Just bring it all back to zero.
I mean, listen.
Start new. You are right.
Maybe Benny Lane was onto something. I don't know. I go nuts
for this stuff. It drives me nuts. I see people with their shoes off and their feet on the table, like at the Starbucks and stuff, like literally propped up. It all kind of started on the airlines when we started letting everybody just fly with sweatpants and flip flops and shoes off. And now they got their service Pelican Gilligan with them and they're spread out all over the place. And it's like nobody's, there's no decorum, no decorum anymore. And I'm with you, shoes off in a restaurant and you're already wearing slippers or flip-flops or Keds or Vans, like how much more comfortable do you have to be? And also, is there any self-awareness level whatsoever? Do you understand that there's other adults who have eyeballs who don't want to look at your stinking cuticles?
That's right.
And what is going on that you need this level of comfort? I'm wearing tennis shoes now. The same argument they have with these people, the same argument as people do on the nude beach. I don't feel free when I'm wearing trunks. I need to be able to move.
All right, counter argument. The rest of us do care.
We do care.
The rest of us are participating in a society.
Why don't you join in
or move to a remote island somewhere?
Then I have a question for you.
Yes.
What commercial do you have to avert your gaze faster to, and it was more grotesque? The mucus commercial where the family, the hobos from the 50s, move into your lungs.
The booger family, you mean?
Yeah, the booger mucus family, Ralph Cramden and company of boogers. He moved the mucus family.
Sure.
That grotesque
one? It's horrible,
one?
Yeah. Right. It's disgusting.
That one. Or the Noid Bobcat character that lifts up your toenail like a hatch in a submarine and dives underneath the fleshy part of your toe.
The second one. So easily. The boogers are the boogers, whatever. Listen.
The boogers are horrible, but when they show them lifting up your toenail like a hatch, I scream with pain.
I mean, some people are kind of like, lighten up, you know? I'm against flip-flops on grown men.
I don't like it.
That is unacceptable. Well, but it's comfortable. All right, listen. Women wear high heels and they wear makeup. They wear bras. I don't know why society requires them to do that. And in fact, I've had discussions with people like, you, as soon as you can take your high heels off, women take them off. Well, who says you have to wear them?
I was always amused in New York City back in the day when you're walking through Manhattan, you see them with the New Balance tennis shoes on.
And the puffy socks.
And their socks and skirt and everything. They'd be walking through Manhattan and they'd be carrying the heels.
Like Working Girl. That was the Melanie Griffith movie. Yeah, they all did that. So, all right, listen. Fellas, listen. You can bite the bullet here and wear socks. Go ahead. I don't need to see your disgusting feet.
Especially at the restaurant.
At the restaurant! You cannot take out a stink foot!
What now? This is one of my, I know I can't hang with this person.
Oh!
I got no interest in hanging with this person.
Believe me. I mean, some people, I don't like it then when I'm trying to help our society by pointing these things out and people I'm with reprimand me. I'll tell you another thing. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I was on the plane and a lot of people I work with were on the same plane from L.A. to Minneapolis on the way to the Super Bowl. And just like we've talked about, one of the most revealing bad traits in a human being gets exposed once the plane lands and everybody is abiding by and easy to follow. You don't ever have to have flown before and understand that it's this row goes, then the row behind it, everybody empties from that row. Then the row behind that one, everybody empties, and so on. But that creep who has to take the step of literally going 18 inches to 2 feet to get ahead of you because he sees an opening like he's Gale Sayers and has to jump ahead of you so he can butt up against the person in front of you because it's not like it's moving, but running into the
person.
And
then you have to stare at his ass because his ass is your head height because he's standing right in the aisle.
If you think Dave Damashek is somebody who just sits by and keeps his yap shut and stews quietly, you're wrong. And you know what? On this flight, it was one of my coworkers.
And really?
Could I give him leniency?
No.
Well, no, I could not.
Would you have done that with a stranger? Would you have piped up?
Oh, I always do. I say, where are you going? I say, congratulations, you're going to get off the flight 0.3 seconds more quickly than I am. Clearly, wherever you need to go, that's more important than where I'm going. Congratulations in advance. I always give him some speech about it, and I gave this guy the speech.
The last time this happened to me.
Yeah, well, where was the joke in there, friend? You know, no joke. Shame on you.
Last time this happened to me, we got off and we all entered a bus that then took us to the terminal. So he was on the bus before anybody else, but then I got onto the bus. So that he could go nowhere. Literally onto a bus. And this ass stood there and he took his huge piece of Samsonite and set it on top of the seat in front of me. So I had the seat and I had the end of his suitcase and his ass in my face while I sat on the aisle. I can't stand up because he's standing there.
Then I, what it does
Who are
is,
these? How
what
come
it
there's
does
no-
is then it makes suckers. And then it makes me feel like I'm a sucker for playing by the law. And that's when we come undone.
Do we not have...
Yes, we do.
This is, here's what I'm saying. Do we need to post signs for everything, or can we just appeal to people's humanity?
Maybe you could start making those instead of the stewardesses tapes about, like, in case of an emergency.
Tampering with, disabling,
maybe instead
or destroying.
It's Adam Carolla like, listen, don't keep your shoes and socks on. What's wrong with you? And by the way, don't jump ahead, you know?
Let me tell you, I'll tell you what I'll talk about. LegalZoom, man. National Small Business Month is upon us. So whether you're just starting out or you have a business, 2018 is a unique opportunity to start that small business. New tax law includes the most significant changes for business owners in 30 years. LegalZoom can help you understand what that means to you. They're not a law firm. They have a network of tax professionals and attorneys to answer your questions. Mark Garagus will sit right where you are, Sheck, and he'll tell you, do not bother calling me. You go with LegalZoom. Now, if you're Chris Brown and you're getting in trouble with the popo, then you give Mark Garagus a call. But if you just need some tax information or starting a small business or all the other things they provide, you go with LegalZoom, you save a ton of money. 16 years providing business owners the tools they need to start and run their business. Keep listening to find out how LegalZoom can help you during National Small Business Month. Don't miss out. It's LegalZoom. Gary.
In the meantime, go to LegalZoom.com/goodsports and get special savings. That's LegalZoom.com/goodsports. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com/goodsports.
Let me bring it on home here with this thought. Should we and can we? You have, Corollaville here, Corolla Town, whatever you call it, is a small business. Maybe we should contact them and inquire with LegalZoom about filing some sort of class action suit against people who go barefoot in restaurants.
I'm with you.
What do you think? When do we could do
I'll
that? Let's get them on the phone and we'll consult them.
Good.
All right. That's it for this episode of Good Sports. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.